this point of our service, we come, as one could say, to the most important part of the meeting, to the reading and the preaching of God's Word. My brother, Mr. Nathan McVeigh, who's a third-year student in our college and from our Donaghadee congregation, is going to come and to preach God's Word to us. But before he comes, I'm going to ask our brother now, Mr. David Wilson, who's a fellow second-year student from our Clocker Valley congregation, to come now and to read God's Word to us. David.
And ask you to turn in your copy of the Scriptures to Exodus chapter 15, please. Reading is going to be taken from Exodus chapter 15. It's a joy to be with you here in Lurgan this evening, to worship with you, to be with my fellow brethren. Their zeal inspires me. My bubble has been truly burst today in Lurgan. Everywhere we go, the people pray for the young men of the college. And there was a brother in the prayer meeting this morning prayed for the younger men and the older men who are here with us today. It's good to be amongst you. It's good to read the Word of God. What a privilege, this book that has transformed many of our lives. The reading is taken from chapter 15 of Exodus and verse 22, please. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which, when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Amen.
We thank our brother David for reading God's Word to us, and we thank our brother, Mr. Andrew Murray. Andrew is a second-year theological student from our Cumber congregation, and we thank him for leading the meeting this evening. And I apologize for the sniffles and the coughs. I've got a bit of a head cold at the minute, so we know the Lord will help, and he'll give help tonight, and that is our prayer. So let us bow in a word of prayer with the Word of God open at Exodus chapter 15, and let us seek the face of the Lord. Let us still our hearts before him this evening, and let us ask that he'd speak at every heart, even gathered here tonight. Let us pray. Eternal Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy grace and thy mercy that allows us to come into thy presence at the throne of grace once again. Father, we thank thee for all that has taken place in thy name and thy presence already thus far. God, we thank thee for the singing of the hymns. We thank thee for the testimony of thy saving and thy keeping grace. We thank thee, Father, for the reading of thy precious truth. And God, we pray now that as we come to the closing moments of this meeting, as we sit around thy feet, even as we open up thy word, and God, we pray for that special sense of thy presence and thy hope. And God, as we said before, we acknowledge that this is, it is a special, it is a supernatural book, and O God, as such we need that special help. Oh, Father, we pray now that the Holy Spirit would descend, fall upon us. Pray you give help to the preacher and the hearer alike. God, we pray that there would be that holy boldness, that liberty in thy precious word. Oh, God, we pray especially tonight, if there are any gathered in this meeting who are out of Christ, those that do not know thee as their own and personal Savior. Oh, God, tonight may they not hear the voice of man, but may they hear the voice of God, that still, small voice, that convicting of sin. God, may tonight be the night that they're brought into the family. and into the fold of God. Father, we pray this not for the honour of man, but we pray it for our Saviour's name in Christ and for his glory. Amen. And the portion of Scripture that has been read tonight by our brother David Forrest, it is a portion of Scripture that is surrounded by well-known accounts of the great exodus of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. In fact, the word Exodus there, the title of the book, it means the way out or departure. And of course, even in the title itself then, we have this book speaking to us of this great deliverance, this great exit out of the bondage of their slavery and in Egypt. As we come to chapter 14, there, the chapter before that we read this evening, we have perhaps one of the most well-known and most often recounted miracles that took place in this great exodus in the lives of the children of Israel. If we look through that chapter 14, we see details of the narrative of the parting of the Red Sea. And we learn that Pharaoh, he had given permission for Moses to let God's people go, but yet we read that God, he hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, he assembled his armies and he began to pursue the children of Israel. He chased after them. He had a change of heart. And we get a sense of the scale of the army that he assembled there in verse 7 of chapter 14. It says there, he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And with this large assembled army, Pharaoh, he began to pursue and to charge and chase after the children of Israel, until eventually he caught up with them and he had them penned in, as it were. There was the great, impassable Red Sea that lay ahead of the children of Israel. There was this vast army of Pharaoh that was closing in behind them. And this, humanly speaking, was an impossible situation. This was an impossible situation for the children of Israel to be in, the children of God. Well, here there was the impassable sea in front of them, and Pharaoh's ruthless armies behind them. It seemed like no way out, but then we read of a miraculous intervention of God. Moses interceded on behalf of God's children, and he was told there by God, if we read through the narrative, to stretch forth his hand within it his rod, to stretch it forth across the sea, and we read that the sea began to part, creating that dry land, that safe passage for the children of Israel to cross to the other side. But not only was there this deliverance of the children of Israel, but we read that as soon as the Egyptian armies began to chase after God's children, well, the sea began to crash upon them. They were destroyed, this vast, this mighty army was defeated. In chapter 15, in the first 21 verses, we read of a song of worship and praise. Here the people are giving thanks and praise to God for this miraculous delivery, for this great miracle that he has just done before their eyes. This great delivery that they just experienced from the hands of their enemies. And then we approach the verses that we read this evening, and it is particularly the verses 22 to 25 that we want to consider tonight. And here we have an account of this group of people, these children of God, they're being preserved from thirst. We see that they were now in the wilderness. Before too long, the great things that God had done, the great deliverance that was provided at the hand of God, well, it was all too quickly forgotten about. Here they were out in the wilderness facing a great problem, and as we read, that thirst was setting in. But you know, as we go through this narrative once again, we see the miraculous provision of God to his children. And child of God, tonight, no matter what you face, no matter what situation you're in, no matter what trial is lying before you tonight, God's grace is sufficient for you. And God will provide a means. God will provide that help just as he did to his children here in the book of Exodus. And tonight then we could really apply this portion of Scripture to the child of God. This is God's children that we are dealing with here, but that is not what I want to do this evening. I want to take it out of its immediate context. For you see here in this portion of Scripture, in these verses from 22 to 25, we have such a clear gospel picture. We have such a clear and unmistakable picture painted to us of the marvelous salvation, the wonderful provision for the great thirst that our soul is in. That provision that has been made through Christ our Savior. And there is a great picture here tonight that we want to consider, and so we just simply want to look at the subject of the bitter water made sweet. The bitter water made sweet. And I trust if you're in the meeting tonight and you're out of Christ, if you've not experienced the salvation that Christ has to offer, well, I trust your heart would be opened. I trust that your thoughts would be turned to the gospel, the glorious gospel of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, this evening. Look with me in the first place at the thirsting for the water. Verse 22 in Exodus chapter 15. It says there, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Well, the children of Israel, they were thirsty. They had just escaped from the hand of their enemy, the Egyptians. God had just defeated the Egyptian armies, and here we read of Moses leading the children of Israel away from that great victory that was made at the hand of God, and he's leading them out into the wilderness. And we read that they've gone at this stage when we join the narrative for 3 days in that dry and that barren and that unforgiving environment, and they're thirsty. They had no water, there was no source of water around them. And here we see them thirsting for water in this dry and barren land. And you know, friends, tonight the Word of God is full of wonderful word pictures that the Holy Spirit employs to teach us some fundamental, some basic and simple truths. And yes, whilst tonight before us we have a historical account in Exodus, and we believe that these things took place, and these children, they experienced that physical thirst. Now, make no mistake about it, these children, they were in that physical, that very real state of thirst. But whilst that is true, often in Scripture we read of the great subject of thirst and thirsting. And so often it is speaking of a spiritual thirst. It is speaking of the desire that is found within the depths of our heart and in the depths of our soul this evening. The psalmist David in Psalm 63, he says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. What was David saying? Well, he was longing after communion with God. He was thirsting for fellowship with his heavenly Father. There was this desire, this thirst that was down in the depths of his soul. Our Savior himself in John 6, and the verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. Of course, our Savior is speaking spiritually. He is saying that those that come to him, they will be satisfied in spiritual things. The great thirst, the great longing, the great desire of their soul, it will be met in Christ alone, just as that man who has that physical quench by taking that drink of cool water. That quench his thirst will so too when the sinner comes to Christ this evening. The great thirst of their soul will be quenched in and through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, friends, you may not realize it tonight, but within all mankind there is an innate sense of deity. There is that desire, that worship, that want to worship something higher, some higher power, some form of deity. And friends, tonight that's why we can say really that there's no such thing as an atheist. Oh yes, they don't believe in the true God. And yes, in that sense, they are an atheist, but friends, they do believe in a God. They believe in a higher deity. They believe in a power. They believe in someone or something to worship. See, tonight, friends, the atheist makes a God of themselves. They worship their own desires. They worship their own wants. They create for themselves answers to life's great questions based on man's knowledge. They worship the knowledge of man. And if we were to go to an obscure village tonight, some remote part of this world, what would we see? We would see some form of worship. We would see men and women bowing down to idols. We would see them partaking in the most ridiculous of rituals. Why? Because within them is a sense to worship. There is a desire, there is a want, there is a great thirst that is within their soul. Whether you know it tonight or not, friend, your soul, it is thirsting after spiritual water. There is that desire, there is that want, there is that great need within the depths of your heart and your soul tonight. And notice firstly in relation to this thirsting, the place of the thirsting. Where is it that the children of Israel are found here? Where is it that they were brought to realize their great need? Where did they see their great weakness? Well, we look at verse 22. At the end of the verse, we read the words, "And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water." These children, they were in the wilderness. They were in that dry, they were in that barren place. That place where there was no water, that harsh, that unforgiving environment. And friends, tonight in this wilderness, we have such a clear picture of sin and the world and what it has to offer. This is the landscape. This is the unforgiving environment. This is the life-threatening environment that is the world that is created by the devil and his angels this evening. Spiritually speaking, you see, it is a dry, it is a barren place, it is a place without life. Friends, tonight, be clear, if you're outside of Christ and you're in the wilderness of the world, you're found tonight in that barren and that dry wilderness of the world, in that place where your soul is thirsting after spiritual water. You know, the world can be painted up to be something very vivid, something very bright. Something so appealing, so attractive. It claims to offer satisfaction. It claims to offer wealth and fortune. It claims to offer contentment to the soul and to the heart tonight. But friends, if you spent time in the wilderness, you'll know before too long it is false claims. Soon the barrenness, the danger, the darkness, the wilderness of this world becomes all too apparent. Imagine a painting up in your living room of the Sahara Desert. What a nice thing that would be to look upon. You have the bright blue sky, the bright sun, the yellow and orange paint of the sand. What a nice thing that would be to look upon. But put yourself in the painting. Maybe gone a couple of days without water, the heat of the midday sun beating upon your back. That thirst is setting in. Well, that's not such a nice environment after all. It is an unforgiving place. It is a life-threatening place, and friends, so too it is spiritually with the world. Oh yes, it looks appealing, it looks attractive. It has a lot that it claims to offer. Wasn't that the case with the fall of man in the Garden of Eden? Wasn't there an attractiveness? Wasn't there a great promise of pleasant things? Genesis 3 in the verse 6 tells us there, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise." Well, there was an attractiveness. There was a pleasantness in what the devil was offering to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Well, friends, solemnly we read in the next verse, "The words and the eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked." Well, it didn't live up to the promised expectations. No. Too soon, the eyes of Adam and Eve, they were open to the reality of sin. It wasn't what was promised, but rather there was a guilt. There was ultimate death and destruction that fell upon them. It was in dark contrast to what the serpent had painted up before them. And yes, friend, tonight the world, it promises pleasure. It promises attractive things, but friend, I warn you tonight, and there's a warning for those that are out of Christ, that the reality is very different. It is a dry, it is a barren wilderness of sin. There is nothing but thirst. There is nothing but longing for something else, longing for something greater. There's no contentment. There's no peace. There's no satisfaction in the world this evening. Not only do we have the place of the thirsting, but notice the product of the thirsting. What was the result? What came out of this thirst that the children were experiencing? We look firstly at verse 24. It says there, "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink?" Well, there was no contentment here. There was no peace found within the people. Think back to a time in your life when you had that great thirst, that desire for a drink of water. Perhaps you were on holiday. A very warm day, and perhaps you'd gone a couple of hours without water. Think of how it felt like there was discontentment. Your mind could not be fixed on anything but getting that cold drink of water to your lips. The first thing you will do, you will go to the nearest shop or the tap and get that cold water to quench your thirst. And think it was probably only a couple of hours at the most since you last drunk. Here these children, these people in our portion of Scripture tonight that we've read, they've gone 3 days without water. Oh, the thirst they must have felt. The discontentment that was in the depths of their very being. Any wonder we read there that there was a murmuring. That word murmuring, it is an interesting word in the original Hebrew. It carries with it the sense of staying permanently. And there was a constant groaning. There was a constant agony. There was a permanent discontentment. These people were in great sorrow and great discomfort. And friends, that is the condition your soul is in this evening outside of Christ. Well, there is this great discontentment. There is this great discomfort. There is this great thirst, this great sorrow, this great longing for something to fill the void. There's a constant dissatisfaction. You see, sinner, tonight when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they committed that sin. We all fell with them. We're guilty of that sin. As a result, we're born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. We've been cut off from fellowship, spiritually speaking, with God. Our souls need to be reunited with Him. There's a great thirsting, there's a great desire of the soul, and this desire, this thirst that cannot and will not be quenched by the things of the world. Cannot be quenched by self tonight, it cannot be quenched by money. Cannot be quenched by the material things of this world. Yes, they may provide that satisfaction, but it's only for a period. There's always that longing for something more, something greater, something better. That thirst is not quenched by what the world has to offer, but rather, as we will see in a few moments' time, that thirst is quenched through Christ and through Christ alone. The reuniting of our souls with God can only be achieved through the person and the work of our Savior. Not only was there a murmuring here, but only for the intervention of God, as we will see shortly. I believe that these people, they would have perished. They had gone 3 days without water, and it is thought medically that we cannot survive for much longer than that without water. Yes, we can go longer without food, but not with water. It was my belief that they were on the brink of destruction, of perishing. Their bodies were feeling the effects of this great thirst. Certainly there would have been physical and mental torment, and the fact that they were thirsty and left in the state they were in, without intervention, without help, then these people, they would have perished. Friends, that is the same case with our soul tonight. You see, the great thirst that your soul is in, the great need that it has, the great problem that is found within your soul tonight, it will ultimately lead to death. Not just physical death, as these children in our text were heading towards. Well, friends, we're speaking of a greater death, that spiritual death. See, as a result of being born in sin, if we were to head out into God's lost eternity in that state, we will stand before Him on that great judgment day and we'll be told to depart. We'll be cast into the eternal lake of fire. That place where there is eternal torments, and friends, there's no quenching for the thirst of your soul in that place. There's no reprieve, there's no respite. There's no remedy for the great need your soul is in that place. Luke chapter 16. We have an account given by Christ of the rich man and Lazarus. And we read the solemn words there of the rich man as he died and went to hell in his sin without Christ. And he cries out in verse 24, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Not only will that physical thirst go unquenched, but even greater, that spiritual thirst will also go unquenched. There's coming that day, friends, when the thirst of your soul, it will not be met, it will not be quenched. There's coming a day when it will be forever too late. I want to consider one more thing just in relation to this thirst before we move on. Not only the place of the thirsting, the product of the thirsting, but notice the misleading provision for their thirsting. This provision, initially it was misleading for us. We will see this apparent remedy, this apparent satisfaction of the thirst of their soul, well, it was a counterfeit. And it was different to what it appeared at what it first seemed. Look at verse 23. It says there, "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter." Here the children of Israel in their great thirst. They thought all was lost. They were close to death's door, as we've already said. Then they come across this place called Marah, the source of water. And there on the horizon, as they seen this great glimpse of water, you can imagine the joy that filled their hearts. Well, you can imagine how that excitement was stirred up within them. They thought, well, there is hope. Here is the great quenching of our thirst. Here is the satisfaction for our thirst. Oh, surely they believed that this was their lifeline. Here was the great remedy for the problem, for the difficulty that they faced, but all was not as it appeared to be. As we read through the narrative, we read that the children of Israel, they began to drink the water and they were met with that bitter taste. You know, friends, it really struck me when reading through this portion of Scripture, that water must have been very detestable. That water must have been very bitter indeed. Here was these men, women and children, and they had gone 3 days without water. They had a great thirst that we could never imagine. They were at the point where anything that was remotely drinkable would have done, would have quenched the thirst, but yet we read there in verse 23, they could not drink of the waters of Marah. See, so detestable, so bitter, so polluted was the source of water that not even these men and women who were at the brink of death because of their thirst, not even they could drink it. And friend, tonight, what a picture we have of sin. Maybe there's one here and you're in your sin tonight and you feel your need, you're not content with your life, you're looking for more. You feel a sense of that thirst, you feel that desire, that longing for something greater. Maybe like these children of Israel in our text, you've got that glimpse of that water source out in the wilderness, and the world is calling out to you, sin is crying out to you, it is appealing to you, it is showing you what it has to offer. And friend, I warn you tonight in the name of our Savior that sin, it has a bitter taste. Just as the source of water in the wilderness for the children of Israel was undrinkable, so too is sin for your soul tonight. Oh yes, it may offer that pleasure for a season, but it will not quench the thirst of your soul. Notice with me in the final place tonight, not only the thirsting for the water, but notice the tree that is in the water. Look at verse 25. It says there, "And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. So when he had cast into the waters were made sweet." Here's the remedy. Here's the solution that was provided for the thirst of the children of Israel. And friends, the great thirst of your soul tonight, the great problem, the great need that your soul is in, it can be met tonight by looking at that tree of Calvary. Looking at the work that was accomplished there by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." And friends, tonight, as a result of the work of Christ, the result of what he carried out there in that old rugged cross, that tree of Calvary, as a result of the shedding off his precious, his infallible blood, there is a remedy tonight. There is a quenching for the thirst of your soul. Friends, tonight, outside of Christ, left in the state that you're in, just as these children of Israel, left with that great thirst, you're heading out into God's lost eternity in hell. We praise God tonight that there is a quenching for the thirst. There is a drink that has been provided that will meet the need that your soul is in. There is one who has met the need of your soul. There's one who has accomplished the work already on behalf of his people. John 7, verse 37. It says there, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." There's no satisfaction in the things of the world. There's no remedy for the condition your soul is in tonight, in sin or in self. And friends, there's a remedy in Christ. There's salvation to be found in Him this evening. And if you leave behind your sin, if you come to Him, if you accept Him as your own and personal Savior, with the great promise that you'll come to Him and you'll never thirst again. The thirst of your soul will be quenched for all eternity. Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man, let him thirst. Let him come unto me and drink." Friend, is your soul thirsting tonight? Are you found outside of Christ? If you are, as we've said, well, that condition is going to leave you lost in an eternity in hell where there is no quenching for the thirst of your soul. If you were to leave this scene of time tonight, where would it be for you? Would it be in hell? Would it be in that place where there is no quenching the thirst of your soul? I just want to mention a couple of things very quickly in closing. Firstly, we see the source of this tree. Where did this tree come from? Look at verse 25. It tells us there, and the Lord showed him a tree. It was God Himself that provided the remedy. All hope seemed lost for these people. All hope seemed like it was far gone. And yet God stepped in, He intervened. He provided the great satisfaction for their thirst. And so too, friend, it is tonight. You see, God acknowledges there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. There's nothing you can do tonight, friend, to remove yourself from the condemnation that you're under because of your sin. But as a result, God has intervened and He sent His only begotten Son. He lived that perfect life, and as a result, He was able to go to Calvary, and there He shed His blood for the remission of the forgiveness of the sins of His children. He's calling out to you tonight, if you come unto Him, if you drink, you will never thirst again. Notice also not only the source of the water, but the sweetness, or the source of the tree, but the sweetness that is provided by the tree. Verse 25, it says there, when He had cast into the waters were made sweet. Not only did this tree make the water drinkable, not only did it provide water that was to quench their thirst. Yes, these things were necessary. These things were vital to the very life of these people. But friends, the tree, it provided more than that. It tells us that it provided water that was sweet to the taste. When you come to Christ for the forgiveness of sins, when you accept Him as your own and personal Savior, you don't only receive life, but you receive life more abundant. Not only you provided water, but you're provided the water of life in abundance. Revelation 22 in the verse 17 again, speaking of Christ, it says, "And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." When you have Christ as your Savior, you're brought from death. You're brought unto life. Instead of an eternity in hell where there is no quenching for the thirst of your soul, you're promised that eternity in glory with Christ, that life more abundant, that life more sweet. Tell me tonight, friends, as we bring this meeting to a close, would you leave behind the broken cisterns of this world? Would you stop looking for satisfaction, for quenching and for the thirst of your soul and what this world has to offer? And would you come to Christ? Would you come and would you drink of that water of life freely and claim that promise that your soul will never thirst again? Friends, it is a spring, an eternal spring of living water. What a tremendous thing for the soul tonight. If you were in that physical thirst, you would be foolish to turn down such a fountain. You'd be foolish to pass by such water. Friends, that's the state your soul is in tonight. Are you going to turn down the opportunity to have your thirst quenched? Well, come to Him. Take of that water of life freely. And friends, your promise that you'll never thirst again. And you'll go to be with Christ in glory. You'll have that life more sweet, that life more abundant. And would you come to him tonight? We plead in our Saviour's name that you'd come and drink and never thirst again. Let us bow in a word of prayer as we bring our meeting to a close. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for this time that we spent in thy presence this evening. Thank thee, Father, for thy precious word. And God, we thank thee for what you can teach us and instruct us through it. Thank thee, O God, for all that you've written down for us to glean from, to learn from. And God, we do pray especially tonight for any, maybe in our meeting, and this great thirst that their soul is in, it is yet to be quenched. O God, we pray tonight that they would come to the water of life. May they would drink. O God, that their souls would never thirst again. Pray you'll part us now with thy blessing. Bring us to our homes in safety. Be with us until we would meet again. May the Holy Spirit speak on in every heart, even this evening. It is in Christ's precious name and for his glory we pray. Amen.